Thank you, as always, to Stefan Chin for, I was going to say, for listening. Stefan, if you're
our
listening,
our number one fan.
Thanks so much.
Stefan Chin.
Hello, and welcome to Snark Squad Pod, a media podcast full of friendship, feelings, and snark. My name is Marines.
I'm Nicole Sweeney.
And today we are joined by Sari Riley and Matthew Gatos.
Hi, I'm Sari. I work on the YouTube channel Crash Course, doing all the content stuff for that. I'm a co-host on the podcast SciShow Tangents, and I'm an editorial assistant on the comic Monstrous.
And I'm Matt. I work on YouTube shows like Animal Wonders and Journey to the Microcosmos, and I'm a producer, editor thing. I have my own podcast called I Love It that occasionally uploads when I have time.
And Matt and Sari are also co-hosts of Cooler Than Homework. And this is a sort of crossover episode between Snark Squad Pod and Cooler Than Homework. Normally for these sort of topical episodes, we have kind of like a trope or something like that. And this isn't really a trope. This is, as you will have seen in your feed, our back to school themed episode. We mostly just decided it would be a fun idea. We're like, oh, okay, Cooler Than Homework. And it's like September. So, you know, back to school.
School.
Yeah. So we have like a really long list of school themed things, ways to talk about school in schools and media. But mostly, I have a feeling that this is going to wind up being coming of age stories part two, which is also like very on brand for us. This is like, how many ways can we have a coming of age stories conversation? Because that's most media set in schools winds up being coming of age stories.
And this is the part where we would do like the did you like the media thing. And that always changes a little bit in these themed or trope episodes. But I kind of want to start with a little bit of a baseline here. Kind of did you like high school, but mostly what was your high school experience like? And I guess I'm trying to figure out, because high schools can vary a little bit, definitely outside the U.S., but even in the U.S., like, was it 9th through 12th? Did you go private or public school? In general, what did your high school experience look like? And did you, for the most part, enjoy it?
I did enjoy high school. My high school was 9th through 12th grade. It was in the middle of a cornfield, essentially. I went to high school in a town of 1,500 people. So my graduating class was like 180 people. So I knew all of their first and last names. I knew most of their parents. I knew like everyone. And I think that helps and hurts a little bit, because I don't know. There was definitely cliques, and that sort of like you section off into your groups and stuff. But I was able to sort of navigate that a bit and didn't. I don't know. I didn't feel like there was like strict guidelines of like, well, if you're friends with these people, you can't be friends with those people, because there was like 20 of us. We had to be friends with everybody. So I think overall, I don't know. I feel like the story of who I was in high school and who I am now sound drastically different, but it's not, because I was like playing football and I was the prom king and all of those things, which I don't think people would necessarily guess, but my high school was also one that the cool kids weren't the quarterback of the football team. The cool kids were the marching band and the show choir kids, because our marching band and show choir were winning all the awards and bringing all the money into the school, and our football team never won anything.
Yeah, cornfield town with only 1,500 people. You're not contenders in the Midwest.
No. We, like, our football games existed pretty much so that the kids had something to do on a Friday night.
And one other question, what was your mascot?
Oh, we were the Tigers.
That's really interesting. I don't think we've talked about our high schools, Matt, because mine is similarly weird. It wasn't in a cornfield, but my high school went from 7th through 12th grade. It was a choice school, so it wasn't a private school. You didn't have to pay tuition, but you had to apply by lottery to get in and then take a math placement test. And I'm not entirely sure why, because it was an arts-focused high school. So there were very few electives. And the weird thing was that I had to take art for 5 of those 6 years, and I had to take Spanish for 5 of those 6 years. And then starting senior year, you could like pick other electives. My graduating class was like 60 something. It started out with like 80 or so seventh graders. And then usually around high school, people fled because they wanted to go to a school with sports programs or with electives or with, I don't know, more enriching after school activities. All that to say, I also knew everyone in my class, and there were three main groups because with 60-ish kids, there ended up being like three different humanities classes being taught at the same level or three different history classes being taught at the same level. And we were mostly divided up by where we were placed in math. So like most of my friends and most of my shared classmates over those 6 years were the people who were a grade level above in math. And then there was at grade level and then maybe a below grade level one. It was also a place where nerdy kids thrived. The two most remarkable things, I think, were no one really dated each other because it was too small. So the only people who got into relationships often dated outside of the school, or if they did date within the school, it was extremely dramatic because everyone knew each other. And it's like, everyone's friends with each other. And now you're trying to make a relationship happen. What? So we were all very awkward, did not know how to express our feelings. And the second thing is, instead of a health class requirement, and for some reason in my brain, this is so normal, but every time I say it, it's so weird. The juniors and seniors, you had to apply to be a camp counselor. And for the first week of every school year, the seventh, eighth, and ninth graders went to camp with the juniors and seniors who were camp counselors. And that is how we covered the district's health requirements.
What?
So I was a camp counselor both years.
That's very weird.
And on my junior year, I taught health and body image. And my senior year, I taught psychology, and it was like eating disorders and depression and anxiety and things like that. And we consulted with a psychologist to develop the syllabus for this class just for a week. We were in the woods. We played games. We sang songs. We bonded and we taught health to each other.
Wow.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet none of you ended up dating somehow.
Yep.
Let's stick these high schoolers out in the middle of the woods, right? Alone to talk about
It'll
health.
Be fine.
There were teachers there, to be clear. There were like two or three teachers that went along as staff, but also like school had to keep going. So if you were in 10th grade or a junior and senior who weren't at camp, normal classes were going while everyone else in the school was away at camp. Very bizarre.
Yeah, that sounds like more useful than my health class, definitely, but definitely wild. Because I think my health class was like the gym teacher in a normal classroom saying, hey, smoking and sex are bad. Don't do those things.
Correct. That's like the classic health class model.
So never had that. And I guess I rambled a lot, but I didn't answer the question. I thought high school was okay. I also did the thing where I floated between a lot of groups. Like I was friends with the stoners and the theater kids and the smart kids. And like there was one clique that partied at other schools that I wasn't really friends with, but I floated between them. I did really well academically. So I was mostly seen, I think, as like the smart but quiet kid. And I was in the background a lot. I was bored a lot and I was a good kid. So teachers would let me get away with things like, oh, I'm just going to go for my free period and work on something. Or like I was able to go off campus and get Costco lunches or things like that when I was younger than I should have been. I don't know. It was fine. And our mascot was the Phoenix.
Where was your mascot used if you didn't have sports?
We had sweaters at some point. It was on a water bottle. I still have my high school like graduating class sweater. And so can wear it and put a picture in the show description if we want. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know, fiery bird. Forever we rise is the mascot or is the motto.
Ooh.
So I was homeschooled for my freshman year because we moved in the middle of my freshman year. And then I started at my high school in Missouri when I was a sophomore. And the actual school building that I was attending for, you know, sophomore through 12th was a 10 through 12 building. And then the freshmen were in a different campus, but we were all technically one high school, if that makes sense. My graduating class was like 600 people, but that was smaller than other graduating classes around us because our dropout rate was very high. So the reason that I reacted immediately to Matt being like, oh, yes, like, you know, no, like our football team wasn't very good is because this town had like 50,000 people and only one public high school. And the football team was a very, very big deal. I was definitely like, I don't know, weird outsider kid. I was like bitter and angry about having to move to Missouri in the first place. My hair was like bright purple when I started. And so even though it did not remain that way, I was the girl with the purple hair. Like that was my identifier at my at my school through all 3 years of high school.
I was the guy with the mohawk. So
those things stick. I don't know. I participated in a ton of low touch extracurriculars. Like I signed up for a lot of clubs, not because I wanted to interact with my peers, but because I wanted to have things to put on a college application. So I was, in spite of like, I was the girl with the purple hair, but also I was in FBLA for all 3 years of high school because one of my teachers was the like FBLA sponsor. So I was like, cool, great. I'm gonna be a future business leader of America. So I can write that on my college applications. I think the thing that the most involved that I was though is I was in the multimedia club, which is basically the AV club. that was like my biggest sort of thing in high school. Our mascot was the Jaybird, not a blue jay. This is a made up bird. This is not a real bird. Jay, like Jefferson City High School, Jefferson City, Jay. Like that's it. That's the whole reason. It's like a, it's basically like a blue jay, but it's red. And yeah, that's, I don't know.
A generic made up bird.
Yes, generic made up red bird.
Mm-hmm. So we got two fake birds and a tiger so far.
Yeah. Yes.
Two fake red birds, even.
Yes.
And a tiger.
My experience is so far outside of all of this. So in South Florida, kind of like north of Miami, there are a bunch of other cities slash suburbs that are large and that feed off of being in between basically Miami and Fort Lauderdale. And the high school that I went to, basically it was right on the border of two of the largest cities outside of Miami and Fort Lauderdale. Like the next two most populous, our high school was right in the middle of it. So 50,000 people, I think you said, Nicole, was in your town. And this high school served for a city that was 150,000 and another that was like 170, let's say. Mm. That said, though, there are like, I don't know if this is everywhere, but in Florida, there are laws specifying like the ratio of students to teachers that you could have. So our school in total, I think, is enrollment is about 2,000. It also was like a super diverse school, I guess, between like Black and Hispanic students. I think we were like 60% of the population. And also something that I know is different from like other schools in the South, you have a lot of like open air schools. So we didn't have like hallways and stuff. Everything was outside, basically walking from building to building and class to class. So it was a large, diverse, outdoor school. And I enjoyed school for the most part. It was fine. I was very focused on academics, but also I'm not like a very good student. So I don't know, like smart kid stuff. We traveled around in packs. They had like a program in which all of the, like we all took the same honors classes. So I just hung out with that group of kids. But then by my senior year, I wasn't really going to school anymore. I was taking like college classes and doing like work study programs so that I almost missed our like practice for high school graduation because I didn't even know it was happening. So I phased myself out of high school as quickly as I could. So it was like a fine experience in a really large school. I don't know. And our mascot was the Mustang. Now we have our basis of what high school was in reality for us. So we can turn to fiction, which almost always got it wrong. I don't know. I guess that is what we will determine. But I think that I want to start with your favorite fictional, like school related tropes or things that are often repeated when we see fake schools in media, that whether they're accurate or not, but like the ones that you really like.
I don't know if this is like just specific like media that I saw this in a couple things and it's not as widespread as I think it is, but there's like this idea of sort of the senior hallway that is like a gauntlet that is scary and you don't want to approach it or go accidentally walk down it because of what might happen to you as a freshman. And I think specifically I'm thinking of Boy Meets World as like there is a senior area of the school that you don't go into, and they, I don't know. I feel like I never experienced anything like that in school. It was all like intermingled, and I had lockers next to juniors and next to seniors and all this stuff. So I never felt like there was a separate part of the school for them. But I also watched TV and movies and saw those open air campus places and thought that was fiction because I lived in a wintry place where they would never think of having an open campus at a high school. So the fact that like Mari actually went to one of those schools and they exist in things like Brink, I'm like, oh, I guess they're real where people don't have snow.
Yes. Yeah. Places where you actually can go outside. In LAUSD, it was like a thing that, you know, as schools became more crowded, like as the student population grew and you needed more space, you would just like bring in a bungalow. Like they would just a portable classroom would appear in the middle of what used to be part of the yard.
Yes.
Oh yeah, there would just be like a, basically like a trailer, like
yes,
a mobile home.
Trailer is
unit.
The word I was looking for, but I couldn't find it. Yes.
Bungalow is way too fancy.
I really like the different lunch tables.
Mm.
So the way that my school was arranged, like there was a cafeteria that you could eat in, but I never ate in there. I made friends with teachers because I was that kind of nerd. And so I would sit inside their classrooms eating lunch or like doing homework somewhere or eat outside if it was nice enough. And so I would never sit at the lunch tables. And those were exclusively a media thing for me where it was like, oh, this is the popular kids table. This is the goth kids table. Even, I don't know, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend did a song about what you missed while you were popular, and they had like their different tables and like the band geek drama and other things. And so it's entirely possible that that existed at my high school and I just had no idea because I removed myself from the children ecosystem. The other one that I can think of is I watched Rocket Science, the movie, recently, which is this it's like one of Anna Kendrick's first roles.
Yes,
and it's where
it's
she
one
got
of my
her
favorite movies. I fucking love Rocket Science.
Yeah, I remember talking to you about this because usually no one's heard of it because it's very weird, just like about high school debate. But there are so many movies and TV shows that center around a kid getting super, super, super into a club, and then their life revolves around that club, and then their romance revolves around that club. And I guess it's a good premise because you can devote yourself to an activity and that gives you your highs and lows. But that was not my experience with clubs at all. I just like showed up. Sometimes we went on trips, but they were never dramatic. I would just do the thing and then go back to my normal life and did not get whisked away on this whirlwind adventure coming of age moment. I just went somewhere, did a presentation about history, and then went home.
And like continue to live your life and have other interests besides this club.
Yeah. Listen, like, okay, maybe the club participation wasn't like that intense, but I distinctly remember having field trips and like outside of school activities. Like there was a yearly chili bake. Chili cook-off is what it was called. And people would go to the chili cook-off on the weekend and they would come back to school on Monday after the field trip or after the activity. And it would be like an entire year passed with all of the drama that happened. I generally was a good kid and like didn't get in trouble, but I was once suspended from field trips for an entire year because we went on a debate trip and had boys in our room and there was a lot of drama and we got told on and all of this stuff. So I don't know if it's like the bigger school thing, but we definitely had very intense, like, out of school, something happened and it comes back and all of that drama bleeds back into school. So media, maybe, I don't know, maybe it gets it kind of right.
I would say bigger school probably contributes to that. Also, Sarah, you mentioned that you guys were all very careful about like not hooking up with each other because your like social circle was so small. And so I think that sort of combination of factors, smaller school, and then also you guys being responsible about how small your circle was, maybe insulated you from from some of this.
Yes. Responsible is like a very kind word to apply. I think we were just all like deeply awkward. That's the only explanation for this.
Yeah, my school did not give a shit about that because we were a super small school. But I think everyone, because it's very much that like small farm town kind of mentality that we all assumed that like whoever we were dating in sophomore year was going to be who we married.
Right.
And like our kids would go to the same school in 10 years.
You'll cherish this photo of you two together on Bring Your Tractor to School Day.
Which was a real thing we had. And to be fair, a lot of people I went to high school with have lived that experience. Mm-hmm. Like I see them on Facebook and they're married to who I remember them dating freshman year of high school or even sometimes in junior high. And they live in the town we went to high school in. So it like that trajectory worked for them. And I think that like didn't, I don't know. I feel like everyone dated everyone in my high school. And like, even if it's just that sort of like one day long relationship where you're like, oh, are you dating Megan? Oh yeah. No, totally. We're boyfriend and girlfriend. And like the next day it's like, what happened to you and Megan? It's like, oh, didn't work out. You can still go through your yearbook and be like, kissed them, kissed them, kissed them, kissed them, kissed them. Maybe this is just me.
Prom king over here.
I feel like this was everyone in my high school.
My favorite thing in sort of high school centric media is school dances. And this is actually something that we got a question about on Twitter, is our like favorite high school dances. In general, my answer is all of them, because I don't know, I wasn't super into most of the high school things, but I did go to prom my junior and senior year. I just went with friends. I didn't stay for very long, but like, you know, put on a pretty dress, took some pictures, did that whole thing. But our proms were in the gym. Like it was our gym with some, you know, some streamers and shit and a DJ. And I feel like there are so many fictional public schools where their dances are at, like they're in these very fancy, lavish ballrooms. And I'm just fascinated by this idea. My older brother went to a private high school and he did have to pay like $80 to go to his prom. Our prom in the gym also cost $5 to attend.
I was definitely paying like $40 for prom.
Right. Right. the trade-off there. But I don't know. I just, looking at all of these gorgeous, fancy proms in TV shows, I was always very jealous and like disappointed by the sad little streamer prom that I attended.
This is probably one of those things too that is more like maybe experience based, because I attended the same elementary school all for all of the years, same middle school, same high school. And so I never was like the new girl, but I love the trope of like being the new student in a school and what a big deal that was, which again, maybe like big school experience, but nobody gave a shit like in our school. If you were the new kid at the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, like that, it just, I mean, I'm sure it's a big deal for somebody coming into a new school, like in the middle of the year, but like the media has taught me that it's like a big deal for everybody else. Like, did you see the new person? And we're going to be mean or nice to the new person. And a lot of stories are started that way, when I just never had that experience one way or the other. But I love it, because who wouldn't want to reinvent themselves and or revolutionize the entire school through their plot? I don't know. I just like it.
I very much remember that actually happening in my junior high, of like a new girl came in like mid-year, and that was all everyone talked about all day.
I was homeschooled for all of freshman year, but we moved in the middle of my freshman year, and I like started, like I was briefly enrolled at the sort of ninth grade center for like a week, and I don't know, basically was miserable and one day refused to go back to school. So my mom was like, fine, we'll let you finish the year homeschooled. But when I first started, because I was a mid-year new student from Los Angeles, like it was definitely not a big deal on the scale that any media would have suggested it would have been. But it was like a thing that, and people would ask me questions about, I don't know, living in a bigger place. Like, my most distinct memory actually isn't in my civics class. The teacher was talking about how institutions will vary, you know, by location. And she was like, you know, for example, and like gestured to me, you know, in LA, they might not have FFA. And like, and then she kept talking and I was like, I don't fucking know. I like whispered to the kid next to me to ask what FFA was. And they like the kids around me all laughed like I was telling a very funny joke. And I was like, no, you know, like I don't like. Per her point, I do not know what FFA is. We did not have FFA in Los Angeles, which is the Future Farmers of America, for those of you who also did not have an FFA.
You were like the kid in Hocus Pocus, that they're all like, what up, Hollywood?
Yes.
That's like one of those new kid tropes I remember too in movies and TV shows. It's like they always make them like stand up and introduce themselves to the class. And I don't remember ever seeing that happen.
Right. Yeah. No, that was never the thing.
I think there are a lot of things about like schools in fiction that are just, I mean, they're fake, but they're par for the course. It reminds me of when we were talking about Mrs. Maisel and how she's a really bad parent, but also we don't want to watch her parenting. Like a lot of stuff around fictional schools, like there's one hallway, there's two teachers, they are always in the same class or one or two classes. And yes, all of that stuff is fake, but also I don't want to watch them sit in a class.
Right.
So you just have to kind of accept that it is what it is. But that said, I also really love like when they have plot appropriate lessons.
Yes.
You see, yes. They're like learning about something that applies to the plot. And I know it's so hokey, but I love it.
That's one of my favorite things about Easy A is that Easy A like signposts that at the beginning, you know, and she's like, yes, of course. Like, you know, you're always learning about something that is relevant to your life. And like, I enjoy that.
I think that's like the trope of almost every like early Boy Meets World episode is that like Mr. Feeny comes in and he like changes his lesson plan because something has happened in Corey's life that he knows about. And so he'll like be like, he's like, well, we were supposed to talk about the War of 1812 today, but instead I'm going to talk about this, Mr. Matthews. It's like, oh, that seems very pointed and not so that good. Helpful.
The only student that he cared about, like the only.
Yeah.
I guess this is a good jumping off point to talk about our favorite fictional schools, because Boy Meets World, forever favorite. But what are some schools that exist in media that you would want to go to? Or I don't know. I guess it's a different question. Like, I would want to go there versus like, I really like this media thing and the way that it depicted the high school experience. Mm-hmm. Those are probably different things. But I don't know. Either one of those. Favorite fictional schools.
Yeah. The two sides of this coin are definitely the ones where I'm like, I want to hang out there and be with those school people, because I think John Adams High from Boy Meets World falls into that, mm-hmm. Even though it's got its bullies and its weird jocks that are like mean for no reason in one episode. But like that seems like a fun school. Whereas like I watch things like Fresh Prince and Rushmore and I see these really high class private schools. And those are like a foreign world to me that I don't even know if it exists. Like Gilmore Girls is another one where I'm like, sure, that maybe exists out there in the world.
Right.
I'll never see it. I'll never know anyone who has seen it. So I'm just going to believe that that's what private schools are all like.
Yeah, I mean, there's like my go-to answer to this definitely errs on the side of the fantastical, like your Hogwarts type. And like, I don't know, that's the easy answer, but also it's true. So there's that. I also really enjoy the very haphazard education of Lyra in the His Dark Materials books. It reminds me a lot of people that I know who were homeschooled. That is something that I find super fascinating and interesting about reading the His Dark Materials books, is that sort of description of Lyra's education is, I don't like it, like it tracks, it makes sense to me. I'm like, yes, I get it. I understand this idea that you have all these scholars who are like, I don't know, man, when I have time, maybe I'll force this wild little girl to sit down and give her one lesson.
I like that as a concept too. Just like, okay, whoever's nearby, yeah, gather the children, sit down, and I'll teach you a little bit about the world or about plants or about whatever.
Did they ever address education on the wild thornberries? Because they just like traveled around in a van with their kids.
I am so sure that that is the same basic premise. Like, that is totally the way Eliza Thornberry was educated. 100%. It was like, whenever her parents thought about it.
You're going to learn a lot about animals and nothing about math.
Yes.
Good luck with life. Yeah.
As far as for me, the fantastical high school that would have been very cool to go to, there's this video game series that's set in Japan, the Shin Megami Tensei series, or in English, it's the, I think I played Persona 4 the most. It's partially a life simulator, so you have to go to high school and you have to make friends and you have to build social links. But in Persona 4 specifically, you have to, there are a bunch of murders around your very small town, and they happen inside a TV world, and this is where it gets like Japanese anime supernatural. And you end up using these mythical creatures that are like representations of your soul to fight off the bad things and solve these murder mysteries. I loved it so much, and I would draw pictures of it and be like, what would my persona be? Like, what what is the essence of my true self? I must know. And like thinking of my friendships in the context of social links, was like, okay, I'm going to spend some time getting to know other people, and that'll strengthen my inner self. Clearly I was not a cool kid. Loved that world. Would have loved to be a part of that. And kind of on the flip side of the coin, I don't know. I feel like it deserves an honorable mention because I think this is something that only I would have watched in middle school because I'm younger. But there was a TV show called Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide that aired from like 2004 to 2007. And it was just great. It was not like my middle school experience because he had things like wood shop and dating. But... but it was just like very charming, and I feel like one of the more realistic, middle school's gonna be okay, so we're gonna show these kids and they're gonna get into some antics. And it's interesting because the janitor on that show, who is friends with the kids in the same way that I was friends with our janitor in high school, is Cliff McCormick from Veronica Mars. Like, he's the lawyer.
Wild. A
friend in that. Yeah. And so when I started watching Veronica Mars, I was like, oh, I know him. He's the janitor. instead of the other way around.
That's great because that actor is in all sorts of things as sort of small parts. I love, so like of all of the things that you could have recognized him from, I am delighted that that, that is the reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a janitor from a middle school show.
I'm realizing in this discussion, I was going to add in that I'd love to go to the Ferris Bueller School. When I say that, I realized that it's because in that school, everyone's like sort of like banded together around this one central thing. They all talk and get along. But really, I think that's like a self-absorption thing that I wanted to be Ferris Bueller.
Right, right.
And I wanted everyone in my high school to care about me. And to go like,
sure,
yeah, like he may not know our names, but we all love that guy.
Right. Whereas this question is more like, you're attending the school. You are extra number 42. What is the school where you would most be interested in being extra number 42?
Right. In that case, it is not the Ferris Bueller School, because I would only want to go to the Ferris Bueller School if I was Ferris Bueller.
Right, right. Okay, so flip side of this, what is, like, what's the fictional school you would least like to attend?
Ooh.
My answer is definitely Sunnydale High. The odds of death, just...
As extra number 42 specifically.
As extra number 42 at Sunnydale High, I'm dead. Like, 100%.
For me, Riverdale.
Yep.
It's, like, the opposite of what I would like in a high school. Sometimes they bring up the SATs very randomly. There are a lot of murders. Everyone's parent is a murderer too. There's like weird corruption in the town. It sounds miserable.
For me, it's going to be Forks High School.
Oh, yeah.
Where a bunch of ancient vampires have decided that the best use of their time is to go to high school over and over again. And also, it looks very blue for some reason. And The weather is awful and nothing about this sounds good.
Also, Forks, Washington is the most boring town. It didn't even show up on weather maps until Twilight became a thing because it was so small and no one cared about it in any way whatsoever. So especially if you like big cities in any way, do not go to Forks. It's useless. Even if you like Twilight, don't go to Forks. It's boring.
I really like the sort of like bonus reason of, you know, warm colors really suit me better. So
I think because it was just like slightly off from my high school experience, looking at the school in like varsity blues where football is the only thing that matters to everyone at that school, that sounds awful. And to quote the great James Vanderbeek, I don't want that life. I don't want to be in that sort of traditional Friday Night Lights, varsity blues type high school. I think my high school had the nice balance of like art and music things that I don't want the weird dads yelling from the sidelines that their son's life.
Looking back on it, I think my high school did have a really wide variety of options and things like to do. But at the time, being in that environment, I definitely felt like I was going to like a Friday Night Lights-esque high school. And I resented it in particular because at some point while I was there, they raised like $50,000 for a new press box. And I just it was like the fact, the very idea that we were going to spend 50 grand on something for this public high school that like parents rallied together to get $50,000. And it was for a fucking press box for the football. I don't know. I just, that was like mind boggling to me as a thing.
What press is covering your high school football team?
Yes.
Yeah. I think being like an extra, especially at like, if you're the star football player, maybe it's more fun. But if you're just like the person who doesn't care about football, you just get to hang out on the sidelines, like not literally, but and just watch this like world imploding on itself of this like terrible life that these footballers are leading. And like one of them passes out in mid-class in varsity blues. It seems very stressful.
I want to go back to the favorite school dances. I mentioned it just as a trope that I enjoy. But what are there any school dance moments from various media that like stand out to you? Do you have any favorites?
I think Grease.
I was gonna say Grease.
Yeah. That was almost the school I was gonna say I didn't want to be an extra at either, because it seems like the Greasers run this school with their dangerous drag racing, and like I don't want to be anywhere near that dangerous activity. But the dance seemed fun.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. You could be extra 42 at the dance.
Yeah.
I would be extra 42 in general at Rydell High because, I don't know, any given day there's like a 50-50 chance you could just be enveloped into a dance number, and that's what I want.
I avoided school dances like the plague. So my first school dance I went to was junior year because someone asked me to prom and I was like, oh no, I have to go. And so I didn't really pay attention to school dances in media either. And so none of them stand out. None of them are heartwarming. The most recent one I saw was Riverdale season 3, where someone died or nearly died and everyone was dressed up as a medieval themed thing. And I was like, that's not good. But I have no nostalgic, happy memories of school dances in media.
I love the school dances on shows like Riverdale and Pretty Little Liars, though, where they're literally just excuses to, you know, to dress their very attractive cast up in like couture ball gowns. I don't know. The Pretty Little Liars dances especially were very much just, I don't know, like, let's put the gorgeous girls in gorgeous dresses. That'll be fun.
I also love the dance in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
Because that the potential for one, not only having your dance at this really cool, big like ballroom, but also for suddenly your favorite band is here and they're playing a song just for you.
Right. Another thing that wouldn't have happened at the dance in my school gym.
Yeah, you had the dance in Parks and Rec, yeah, where like Tom and Ben are the DJs playing terrible songs for these high schoolers.
She's All That has a great one too, because they have like the coordinated dance, and isn't the DJ like Usher or something? It's like in the background. Very good.
Yeah, I think a lot of these schools have like unlimited money.
Yeah.
In a lot of these like TV shows, in movies, it's like, okay, well, not only do we have the best music program, we also have the best football stadium, and we also have this giant prom, and there never seems to be any shortage of educational funding.
Mm-hmm. It's not interesting if you have a mediocre football stadium, and that's the point of the show.
Very overfunded school dances, though. Those are everywhere. Although, to this point, of a lot of these schools actually being rich kid schools, even though they're like the media never acknowledges that that's what's going on. 10 Things I Hate About You is also there's just so much money. We watched it last night because when I was trying to think of a list of sort of, you know, school themed questions, I came up with multiple that were related to 10 Things I Hate About You. So the dance is one of the things that I wanted to talk about. Also the school itself, which is a castle. And the scene where they drop the flyers down the stairwell ruined me for the idea of a school. Like, all schools are disappointing after that sort of beautiful visual of the flyers sort of fluttering down the many flights of stairs and that kind of spiral staircase deal. I thought that was fantastic. But also when I was thinking of that, it made me think of To All the Boys I Loved Before, which also has a very fancy school. So, Sari, is this our Seattle area schools' castles? Discuss.
To my knowledge, no. So I, to be clear, went to school outside of Seattle in Kirkland. And my cousins, who are very rich, went to private schools. And even then, they were just like nicer versions. They looked more like office buildings. No castles in sight. But Matt, you have insight onto the 10 Things I Hate About You school?
Yeah, that one actually is in Tacoma. So you weren't too far from the giant actual high school that they used for 10 Things I Hate About You. It's called Stadium High School. It's really there. One time I was driving through Tacoma and stopped to see it. And yeah, it looks exactly like it does in the movie. The giant football field that Heath Ledger sings at is right next to it. And it's a weird little bowl next to the water. Like, it looks super fake in that movie, and you could probably look at it and go, no one could ever go to school actually there. But people do. I don't know if it cost a lot of money to go to that school or what, but
according to Wikipedia, it is a public high school.
All right. Well, I guess I'm moving to Tacoma so my kid can have an awesome high school.
It's so majestic.
You'll be right by an airport and you'll have a great high school.
I don't think I had like a really good grasp on like this like schools and money tie until high school, because I was in the debate club, and so we would go to different schools in the district to compete, and all of them were better than ours. we would go into like the richer areas with the really, really pretty, like, I've seen high schools that not necessarily look castle-like, like stadium, but down here in some of the more affluent areas, you definitely get like college campus-like to a bigger degree, which our school was like old and run down and whatnot. So that's when I was like, oh, money, I get it.
This is actually reminding me of, like, I don't know, did you guys have the experience of rival schools when you were in high school?
Yes, kind of. There were two sort of layers to this. There was the one private school in town, and so there was like some sort of contentiousness with them, but they weren't, I think that they were in a different class. I'm being forced to remember things that I actively tried to not know about, but in order to answer this question. But like, we definitely had, I don't know, some sort of tension with the private school in town, but they were a much smaller school. So I don't think that we were actually competing against them. Like, our football team didn't compete against them. So whoever our football rival was, I don't know. It, like, we had one, but I made it a point to not care about this.
So you didn't, like, for no good reason, just hate students if they said, like, oh, yeah, me? I go to Central High School. And you're like, a Central kid? Get out of here.
No, I did not. I did not personally have that experience. And I have no idea whether any of my peers who were more invested also had that experience. I don't think so, though.
I mean, we kind of had a rivalry. So my school was called International Community School. It didn't actually have very many international kids, but our big competition school was the International School in Bellevue. which also didn't have a lot of international kids. I don't know why the naming system was like this, but they were also like a public choice school that you had a lottery to get into, but like more rich kids went there because they were in Bellevue, which is, I don't know, where the malls are and where houses are more expensive. And they were also academically very intense. And so I don't remember being in specific academic rivalries with people because I wasn't on an FBLA team or a debate team or anything that would have put me in direct competition with them. But I do remember talking about them. It's like, oh yeah, their AP scores are also really high. Or like, I don't know, we got fives in most of our grade, but they got more than us this year. And so like very stupid, pedantic academic rivalry, but it amounted to nothing.
But it's like that mythical thing of like, that other school, they just, they must have this. They don't have that. We're better in this way.
Yeah. And like the fact that the names were similar too, like they were IS and we were ICS, just amplified it up. So,
See, I think we had Hersher High School, which was so basic and boring. And our rival was Bishop McNamara.
Ooh.
Yeah. Way cooler as a name. But like the moment you would like meet someone that was like in another friend group and they're like, oh yeah, I go to Bishop Mac. You're like, oh, okay. Like you had so many assumptions about them based on nothing. I've never been to Bishop McNamara school. I have maybe talked to two people who ever went there, but the rumors and the myths that would swirl around our school about Bishop Mac students made me assume I should hate them.
My favorite instance of that in media is Veronica Mars. And so Veronica went to Neptune High. And then there's a school that's like 15 miles direct. Actually, I guess it's 30 miles because they meet at rest stop 15. So like 30 miles directly inland is Pan High. And there are also, one of the things is, you know, rest stop 15 is the like halfway point between the two schools. So that's where like shady inter-school dealings will happen. And like, I don't know, the way the show leaned on the inherent absurdity, it played with it a little bit. It played with the idea that Veronica is herself kind of an outsider at her own school. So she, you know, she goes to this other school and then she becomes kind of an immediate insider. And so there's that dynamic that's sort of happening. And also this school is first introduced to the show because the principal is like, hey, we have a mystery that needs solving, and it seems like you solve a lot of mysteries. So like maybe we should use that. So there's a lot of kind of I don't know, meta components, I guess, to the way that the Pan High rivalry is introduced into the show. But I really enjoyed it.
My favorite instance is in Never Been Kissed, where it's like South Glen South is the name of their high school and the rival is like North Glen North or something like that. It's like very, and then the whole thing is that like the other school copies their prom theme and they're like, we can't have it too, and they have to change their entire prom theme because the other school copied it.
Now I'm thinking of Bring It On and like the rival cheerleading squads.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I mean, that one has like other layers to it too, though. Just like, you know, like the class and racial dynamics and stuff beyond.
Yeah. And that they actually stole their routines.
Yes, and like so, actually, you know, literally were stealing things. So
I mentioned Never Been Kissed, which there was one other thing that I wanted to mention, like in terms of like media and schools and particularly high school media as a thing that I don't like or that maybe really messed with my perception of like what high school would be like. But you know, you watch TV and there are a bunch of like 20 and 30 year olds running around high school.
Yes.
And yeah, maybe thinking that my life would be a little bit more together when I was 16 because I was watching a bunch of 30 year olds navigate the hallways, but that's not the way that it went. And thinking about Drew Barrymore pretending like she could pass as a high school student and Never Been Kissed. Wild to me.
Yeah, like thinking of like when I was 25 trying to go back to high school and be like, sup fellow kids,
yeah,
how's it going?
My other big gripe, and this is just a thing that I wanted to put out there on this episode, is how on Pretty Little Liars those girls always did like an hour of scheming at a coffee shop before the school day even started. And like, I don't know what everyone else's lives were like, but I basically rolled out of bed and went, yes, directly to school. And also this was way earlier than I go to work. Like I school started so early. I don't understand how these teenagers have all this time. And like, they look cute as heck. Like, they got up, they got cute clothes on, they did their full face of makeup.
Full makeup.
And then they're like hanging out at the cafe. Cannot imagine, cannot relate.
The mention of Pretty Little Liars. No, this is like a real, for real. Yes, I cannot believe I have not mentioned this, but teacher-student relationships in media where that are set around high school. Oh, so bad.
Yeah.
Hate it. Hate it in all circumstances. And Pedzra and Arya are probably one of my least favorites of all time. And if we're going to mention Pretty Little Liars, just have to put that out there.
Yeah.
Do not date your students.
Don't date your students. Thank you. It's inappropriate. I don't care how old, like, no, it's inappropriate. Mm-mm. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Don't fucking do it.
The never been kissed thing of that, of like, yeah, there's that weird vibe where, like, I think she ends up with the teacher, right?
Yes.
Which is like, yeah, for most of that movie, he is seeing her as a student.
Right.
Yep. That he's just slyly flirting with. And we're all okay with it because we know.
We know.
Right.
But she is of age.
No. He does not know. And therefore, it's super fucking inappropriate.
Yeah, there should be like a flash forward to 5 years into their relationship at their wedding and her just going, wait, how old did you think I was when you started liking me?
And on that note, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you to Matt and Sari for joining us this week, and thank you all for listening. We'd love to hear all of your thoughts on fictional schools in media. There will be a post dedicated to this episode up on snarksquad.com. You can also sign up to join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/snarksquad. You can also find us on Twitter at snark_squad. You can find me at My Name Is Marinus.
I am at Sweeney Says.
I am at Matthew Gatos.
And I'm at C.E. Riley.
Thank you, as always, to Stefan Chin for the theme music that is playing us out right now, and we will be back in your feed next week.
Bye.